tsunami's back, bitches.
Took you long enough.
This has been an experience we will never forget.
This ain't no time to go all mushy.
Don't lecture me. I've waited long enough.
It's Food Wars. We have to eat during it.
So I read the first chapter of that manga, and I actually figured out they don't have onions in the dish in the manga version.
Seriously?
Fucking anime adaptations. Yeah. Fucking get rid of the onions?
You need the onions. I mean, come on.
Well, no, the anime adaptation added the onions. The original, in the manga, they didn't have the onions. It was just like,
why would they leave the onions out? I feel like that recipe needs onions.
You know, onions are gross, and they should be banned.
It depends on whether you cook them or not. If you don't cook them, then yes, they're gross and they should be banned. But if you do, then they're pretty good.
Okay, fair. I'll acknowledge it. But yeah, raw onions are the devil.
Yeah, no, those things are horrible.
That was a pretty good cold open.
Oh, wow. Shit.
There we go.
Welcome to episode 158 of the Tsunami Escape Podcast. I'm Greg Zeno. Tonight we have B-Dubs.
Hello.
C-Kohler.
Hey, guys.
And Chug.
Yo.
How's it going?
It's going, hanging out, moving, fun stuff.
Still not doing a podcast?
Yeah.
What pod? Oh, right.
It's the sister podcast. Died.
So. Yes, it did. I completely forgot because it did die.
Yeah. Rest in peace.
I miss you.
I miss it too.
I do too. Even though we're better.
No. I mean, well, I guess like by default now.
Yes, it's like how I'm smarter than Albert Einstein because he's dead and I'm not.
Yeah,
that's how that works.
My logic is flawless.
I would say so.
Sounds legitimate.
Anime Expo happened and some announcements happened as well. So
they did.
First up, we got the announcement of Demon Slayer, Kimetsu no Yaiba an off-center camera shot.
I've actually heard good things about this one.
Well, it was fine, and then the point I stopped watching it when it got announced, it had just introduced the two main side characters who are dude who is constantly screaming out how he's going to die, and Bakugo, but louder.
Oh, great.
How far in is that?
13 episodes, halfway through.
It's not too bad. Go a whole 13 episodes without Bakugo, I can move with that.
I've heard this show looks nice.
Oh yeah, I've heard that.
It's off and on. Sometimes you can really tell that it's CGI, kind of CGI backgrounds.
Well, I mean, everything can be One Punch Man and always be on.
I looked at the trailer for the show, and I was really impressed with the animation. I thought it looked really good. It's really colorful, has really good line work. So I think animation-wise, I'm really looking forward to it. I have to admit, I did not know this existed. In fact, when they said Demon Slayer, I thought they were talking about one of those other shows that we were.
You thought you were talking.
Yeah.
You thought it was Goblin Slayer.
Yeah.
The two shows that shall not be named, which we just live in perpetual fear of coming to the block.
I don't think they're
just knocking on DeMarco's door, being like, "Look at how many people watch these."
Check out this Shield Hero shit.
Check this out. You know that show Confederate that didn't happen?
we got that.
An interesting thing about Crunchyroll, though, that's I'll quickly mention is that it looks like part of the deal between Toonami and Crunchyroll is that I'm thinking Crunchyroll just gets ads now on Toonami because they promoted the Dr. Stone sub coming out on Crunchyroll.
Well, they had ads before.
But maybe they're cheaper now.
Yeah, or maybe it's part of their, like, because it seems like it's pretty regular that they're getting Crunchyroll. It's because before Dr. Stone's, it was something else.
Well, they had that Fooly Cooly subbed ad that was running for a while.
Yes, that's because, you know, Toonami made
it. Yeah, Toonami.
And it's like, hey, the sub's out, if you really want that instead of the dub.
Well, I could be wrong, but I'm going to take a stab here and say that I expect there to be a Crunchyroll ad pretty much perpetually going forward.
Maybe.
Yeah, I guess it depends on what they're promoting, because I mean, like, you're going to have, like, kind of, like, some dead spots in the middle of a season.
Right.
That makes sense, you know, because, like, you know, in the same way that Crunchyroll is helping to bring certain shows to the Toonami block, Toonami can then, in turn, get people to subscribe to Crunchyroll, so.
Right.
But yeah, that's coming Not anytime soon, actually. It was announced for fall.
Yeah, which is kind of wild, but...
Which, I so, like, the earliest I'm thinking would be a replacement for Gundam The Origin, which ends on September 28th, which means it would come in October. Or it would come October 5th, the day Dragon Ball Super ends.
Right.
But, yeah, that was interesting, because I was like, well, that's clearly one of the two, you know, we've got two shows ending, like, immediately. That's going to be one of them. Nope.
We're still waiting to find out what the hell's replacing what, unless it's just a contraction or they're putting a couple of repeats at the end.
So, yes, we still have no idea what replaces Sword Art. It ends this week.
We'll probably know soon, I would assume.
I assume if there is, I mean, I guess we have to know before the end of this week.
Not wait until Sword Art is over.
Yeah, no, judging by how they release, like, information, it's probably going to come out right after we're done recording.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, right.
When did they announce?
Because that's how it always works.
They did it with Food Wars. When did they announce that? What specifically was
it? It was like the next day, I think.
Yeah, it was like Wednesday? Yeah, it was like 6 hours later.
Okay.
Yeah. But, like, if we recorded these on a Wednesday, we could talk about whatever announcements they make.
So when you're listening to this, you probably know more than we do.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Because it may take a couple of days before this even comes out. Now, Demon Slayer, now that I know that that show exists, I can look at it and go, yeah, that seems like a logical thing to appear on Toonami. Maybe what was not so expected was another show that was announced.
So, yeah, they went and got Genlock from Rooster Teeth.
Oh, God, yes. I forgot about that.
This show has a cast list that is fairly major.
Yeah.
We got Michael B. Jordan on the block.
Yep.
I mean, I took a look at the cast list, and I'm like, holy crap.
Michael B. Jordan, Dakota Fanning, Maisie Williams.
You got David Tennant in there somewhere.
Yeah,
David Tennant.
Asia Kate Dillon.
I'll tell you this.
Monica Rial's in there.
I will. Oh, yeah. When I first saw this, I was kind of like, oh. Because I don't know if I'm going to like this, but... When I heard the cast list, I'm kind of like, oh, actually, I'm not kind of looking forward to hearing what this sounds like.
I mean, it's probably, I feel like I'm not a huge fan of the stuff Rooster Teeth has been doing lately, but at the same time, the cast list is so really good that at the worst, it's going to be like season one of IGPX.
Yeah, it's... I actually have not watched a Rooster Teeth show.
I haven't watched anything they've done since, like, the old Red vs. Blue days. And
I watched Red vs. Blue, and I stopped about the time they had actually started being able to, like, actually get in there and really manipulate the character models. So they were doing crazy action shit and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They're way beyond that now.
They're definitely still doing Red vs. Blue, right?
Yeah, they are, which is crazy to me.
Yeah,
where now, is that story even at? Right now.
I don't know.
Who knows?
Hey, isn't it anyway? Red versus Blue started with those kids. Like, they went through this the Halo progression before Halo, where they had their set characters, and then they introduced this, like, secret agent dude who then became the main character.
Yeah.
And it's like, and then Halo's like, hey, check this out, Agent Locke.
Well, okay, so I did watch one time a random episode of what's it called?
Ruby.
Ruby. Yes, I did watch a random episode of that. And my general takeaway from it was that the character seemed okay. I could probably see people liking it for that reason. I thought the animation was not good. and I'm trying to be real careful here how I say it, because I don't want to just, you know, poop on somebody's favorite thing. But the truth was, it just didn't look really well animated. I think it had heart, but I think it was just like animated by people who just are learning how to animate. And I don't know. It just didn't look really good. I thought the show looked bad.
And so it feels like the guys behind kind of a basic machinima where Halo characters just
It's better than a machinima because I think obviously they created models and they're hand animating it and everything.
Right.
It's not mo-capped. It was very much keyframed animation, but it's that kind of stilted, kind of like what you see in like those Walking Dead video games. It's got that kind of, everything's a little too robotic.
Right.
However, I have heard that like certain scenes are really well animated, so maybe it's got a little of that Sakuga kind of thing that anime has. But
I've heard it gets better as it goes along.
Yeah, that's
yeah, and that makes sense.
If you watched probably season one episode, it might have been really bad.
Yeah, yeah, I don't remember what season it was I saw, but I will say though, again, I watched the trailer for Genlock, and I thought it looked a lot better animation wise than what I had seen before.
I mean, Genlock doesn't look horrible. It's just I don't know, you know.
I've seen enough in the trailer to make me go, this is probably going to be okay. But that's about where I'm at.
Genlock is definitely this studio that has matured as far as talent goes. I've never seen anything about this show. I'm cautiously optimistic just because I think it would be nice to have an American show again. We'll see.
So we were confused because Seda had the listing for Attack on Titan ending on August 10th, and it's like, oh, wait, no, that's not right.
So it's in like 2 days.
They're just dropping
two episodes.
They're dropping Genlock in the middle of it. There's no show to replace, but no, it's replacing Attack on Titan.
Yeah, Attack on Titan's ending in like two episodes.
Give it the give Genlock the Dragon Ball Super slot.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Here's the thing. From September 21st to October 5th, a show ends each of those 3 weeks.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff ending.
There's still a lot of stuff ending. Replacements for the stuff that is ending soon have been announced, and stuff is still just constantly ending.
Yeah, like it's finally a ton of things are just ending all at once, and it's kind of weird.
It's okay. We'll always have Black Clover, Boruto, and Shippuden.
We'll always have Food Wars to Black Clover to Boruto to Shippuden.
That's in there now, huh?
Wait. They haven't announced a replacement. I mean, a new Black Clover season in Japan yet.
That's true.
So it could happen.
There's hope.
That could also mean, of course, we're just going.
Like God could be real, you know. It might end.
How soon Toonami would get the word about that.
I have no idea.
Probably the same time we find out.
Yeah, I imagine.
And then they'd have that much time, only that much time to figure out what they were going to do.
Well, I mean, we're about a season behind, so.
Yeah, 3 months. But you generally think they have stuff like this planned out a lot farther in advance.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe.
I guess in. You might be looking at a situation where something fell through, I guess, but who knows?
But yeah, we still don't know what's for. The block is weird again.
Yeah,
it is.
I have, unfortunately, with two whole new shows just announced and Anime Expo over, my current prediction is that we're not getting a show for SAO replacement. I think something was going to be rerun or something.
You see,
I'm really hesitant to make that argument after Hunter x Hunter.
The thing that makes that weird for me is they just dropped MHA down to the back.
Yeah.
And they also just changed from 11 to 4.
Right.
And it's like, why do any of those changes if you're just going to go change it again so soon?
Yeah, it's true.
Well, like either running a rerun and then bumping everything back up is like, that's weird. And then just dropping a slot is like, that's also weird. Why didn't you just wait? Like you just bounced the whole block back. Why didn't you just wait until you dropped this slot?
So we could learn the answer to this anytime between the time this show ends and Saturday night. Although I think probably pre-flight would be
right.
Likely.
Pre-flight is like the last possible time they could announce it.
Yeah. You think
unless
so?
Unless they were going to do a promo announcement during Toonami.
I don't think they've done an announcement on pre-flight in a long time at this point.
No.
Right. Yeah.
No, I expect to hear about it through like Seda checking Facebook or something.
Yeah.
And, do people still watch pre-flight?
Apparently. They still do it.
Oh, wow. Yeah. All right.
Still a thing. I watched it recently because I thought they were going to announce the next show that we didn't know was coming, the big mystery show.
That turned out to be
Jude, I don't remember. I think
it turned out to be Food Wars?
Food Wars, maybe, or Gundam, one of the two. But the thing was, when I tuned in, it was a repeat. It was like from the previous week.
It's always weird when you do a podcast and then you put it on repeat.
Yeah.
Sometimes, I guess sometimes they can't do it.
Something like that. Well, anyway,
you guys don't just release the same episode like four times in a row.
Well, maybe it wasn't a repeat, or maybe it was like they skipped a week, and so this was like a week late. I don't remember. It was weird because I waited, and then I started to realize, like, wait a minute, they're talking about stuff that happened a week ago.
Yeah.
So anyway,
what's going on here?
So yeah, like, we're in a point where one, all the truly excellent shows have left or are leaving.
Right.
Everything else is pretty good to bad.
We're getting into like experimental stuff now.
Yeah. Between Food Wars and Genlock.
I
just get Ippo. Well, no, I mean, the dub for Ippo isn't very good, but damn, it's exciting.
And hey, that rumored Dragon Ball series sure is nowhere to be found.
It's going to happen. Let's be real.
It's definitely going to happen, but I'm really surprised we haven't had an announcement yet. Like, I was honestly expecting it to start premiering before Super was over. Which, I mean, it still could, but...
No.
It could premiere a week before Super's over.
I'm expecting it kind of in the fall, almost.
But, yeah, I would also assume it would have been announced by now, if it was. So... Because, yeah, I've heard nothing, but I have heard about a new Super movie, so I guess that one.
Yeah. Happen. I mean, maybe they're doing a new Super movie first, and then they're doing the show.
Also weird, everyone's still kind of wondering what's up with Funimation.
Yeah, you know, I didn't really want to buy into that, but I was thinking about it a little bit. I'm like, yeah, we haven't had a new Funimation show in a while.
I mean, they don't really have anything. I mean, what do they have that, you know, we would want for Toonami at this point?
Dr. Stone.
Do they have Dr. Stone?
They have. Who has the dub?
I don't think they have Dr. Stone.
Well, they... Okay.
Well, they have the sub for sure.
Anime television series licensed by Crunchyroll.
There it is.
So, by the way, that could super duper happen because I think they announced the simul-dub date for the 19th. Mm-hmm, and that would be the day before it could potentially premiere on Toonami.
I'll tell you this much. That seems like an obvious show to appear on Toonami to me.
Yeah. That's also I've only watched the first episode, but I've been following that manga for a while. It's pretty good.
Crunchyroll, Dr. Stone, dub. I actually don't know where I read that it was going to be premiering on the 19th. That's weird. Maybe it was Fire Force.
Yeah. No, but like for the Funimation thing, like what have they licensed lately that, you know,
would be for the I actually don't know.
Fire Force.
Oh, they have Fire Force?
Yep.
Okay, well there we go.
And the simul-dub version was on July 5th, so
maybe DeMarco didn't want it right away.
Anyway, when are we getting Mob Psycho season 2?
That's also Crunchyroll, so that could that could also be the next thing.
Yeah.
But yeah,
that'd be a pretty big surprise.
That would be.
I think this whole Funimation conspiracy theory is just a bunch of like, oh, they're doing with Hulu and one weird tweet that goes with them dropping My Hero to the very back.
Yeah, I'm not really interested in kind of dwelling in that, but
yeah.
It's like really weird because what does Toonami look like without any Funimation?
Yeah.
Or, like, with no Funimation replacing... Because, like, Black Clover is going to be here for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would rather not have... Yeah, because we're definitely losing Super, MHA, and Attack on Titan soon, but
Super is going to go on for a while.
Super is...
No, I mean MHA. MHA?
MHA?
Yeah.
It's got, like, 6 more episodes.
Yeah, dude, it's August 17th end date.
I thought they... When is the...
Season 4 starts in October.
Yeah, but it's kind of up in the air.
But with this whole Funimation thing, people are like... people are like, oh.
No, I don't know.
Yeah.
But like Occam's Razor says, everything's fine. Yeah. They'll get Season 4. The drop really was just due to scheduling being like, we don't like the metrics on this.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they did a bunch of really weird scheduling shit. You know,
yeah,
that's what they do.
Remember that schedule that never happened?
Or when they had Boruto and Shippuden like all the way at the start of the block.
And that actually did happen?
Yeah. It just kind of feels like whoever's in charge of scheduling now is trying to like make a name or something.
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, that Shippuden thing. Don't move up a long-running show when it's in filler, guys.
So yeah, Toonami is weird again.
Yeah.
It feels like it hasn't been this, like, odd since, like, the third year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Since at least before Space Dandy.
Remember that year we got, like, Samurai 7 and El Rekka 7 at the same time?
It was like, like, the first few months.
Yeah.
That was, like, the second. Samurai 7 was the first new show after the first block.
Oh wow. That is earlier than I thought it was.
One of the weirder things I saw? Probably when they just announced Symbionic Titan and Thundercats randomly. And that was also like real early.
Yeah. That's all also within first year, I think.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're basically now back to, hey, weird random Western shows.
But keep in mind
Beware the Batman.
DeMarco's also funding like, you know, those six new anime, of which we only know two.
He's also doing that, and that could also be like...
We
know Blade one. Runner? We know Blade Runner.
Yeah.
Right, we know Blade Runner, and that's about it.
Okay, yeah. Which is actually pretty cool, but so I guess we'll see how it turns out.
The current trajectory future of Toonami right now is experimentation.
Yeah.
And so we've been kind of sitting pretty for more than a year or so of like... banking on shows that are known quantity quality.
Yeah.
And now we're kind of like trying things. They're trying to be like, let's try Genlock. Let's try Food Wars. Let's try a whole bunch of new shows nobody knows exist yet.
Let's try Gundam again.
Right. Because part of it is that there's only so much like stuff coming out every year in Japan that actually fits on the block.
Well, that's why they did their like, we're going to go weird a bit.
Yeah.
And also, you could also go older.
Right.
Good old Pop Team Epic.
In fact, I'm going to go as far as to say that the reason Genlock is on the block is because they're trying to diversify against the kind of stuff that you get on a Crunchyroll or a Funimation now.
So it's not just like the anime block.
Maybe not so much that it's not the anime block, but it's
Don't forget they have a like specific announced partnership with Crunchyroll.
It's more about like the fact that like this is a show that you're not likely to have seen somewhere else.
Right. And that also fits in with DeMarco going over to Japan and just funding shows randomly.
Yeah, it's like, here's a bunch of exclusives in a way, you know?
He says he goes over once a month now.
I mean, he's got six different shows in production over there.
Makes sense, yeah.
I will say, yeah, because there was a period where, while the block was really good about a year ago, there was a time where I was like, I've either watched all of these shows subbed or have read the manga for them. And that's not really the case anymore.
Right. The problem there is that you're not entirely sure what you're going to get quality-wise as a result.
Yeah.
Yeah, people are already saying, like, oh man, block's kind of bad now.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's... I'm not ready to go there just yet. For all I know, I'm going to like these new shows.
Well, the block is now not as good in the times where people are willing to stay up and watch.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay, fair.
Because, like, hey, if you want to stick around for My Hero Academia, it's at 3:30 now.
Yeah. Watch this. You got to sit through the Shonen Power hour and a half to make it over there.
I'm seriously considering, like, taking a nap once like Boruto comes on, because I like Boruto, but like maybe I can get a good like hour and a half. Well, I mean like Black Clover, get an hour and a half in, like at the beginning of Black Clover, take a nap, and then wake back up in time for Gundam and My Hero.
You see, I feel like if you did that, you'd just be sleepy when you got back up.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Well, it's better than just not participating at all, which is what I did this week.
What I actually do stuff during that hour and a half. Like I'll stop and I'll watch Boruto, but other than that, it's kind of like, I've got things that probably should be done, and I'll take the time.
My goal this weekend is, if I can, I'm going to take a nap before Toonami so that I can try to stay up the whole block, because I haven't done that in like a month.
I had a really hard time not last week, but the other week.
Well, I think that's about it news-wise.
Mm-hmm. So, why don't we get into Dragon Ball Super? Dragon Ball Super Episode 118, Accelerated Tragedy, Vanishing Universes. In this episode, we've eliminated the huge major characters from Universe, 2 and 6?
Yeah.
And they're still here, so guess we have to have some actually pretty good-looking fights.
Mm-hmm.
Against...
Sorry, go on.
No, you go ahead.
I this might not be the most common opinion, but I kind of like the idea of having these random mooks just trying to hold down the fucking line.
No, I actually do like that.
Like, it gives these characters importance a little bit. Like, they're not just here to fill up a slot.
It also kind of, it goes against your expectations. Because you expect when Hit goes out or when Kefla goes out that's it.
Yeah.
And then it's not.
Instead, we have these two random Namekian dudes just kind of trying to hold it down, and it's like...
They're pretty good, though.
You obviously know, the Goku universe is going to win, but you're like, whoa, these guys are definitely not going to win, so they're kind of in a hopeless situation, but they're still going for it. I don't know, it's just kind of neat.
Hey, they're pretty cool, though.
Yeah.
But another thing about that is, you also know that there's, that yes, there's absolutely no way these guys are going to win. But if, let's say it was a Kefla, let's say it was Ribrian, let's say Ribrian was the last one standing and she was fighting the androids. In that case, you could actually see her like actually winning.
No, I don't think so.
You could never ever see if these guys have been fighting the androids, it's like, no, they're not winning.
I could see them eliminating an android.
Yeah.
Maybe not 17. But, I could see, Piccolo getting eliminated by these Namekians, because, what the fuck is Piccolo even doing here?
Well, were these Namekians even around, two episodes ago?
Yeah, no, they've been...
Oh, no, they've been, in the background fighting Gohan and Piccolo for, a couple episodes now.
Yeah.
But never before that, right?
Yeah,
right.
No, I don't even think they showed up in the group shot.
No, they did.
Okay.
They showed up in the group shot. Honestly, it's one of the better fights.
Yeah,
I actually do like it. It's one of those things. It's quick, but it's really action packed, and it has the twist on it is fantastic.
I also really enjoy the elimination of both of the universes because just how they go out is really somber. You have Universe 2 doing the whole,
we're going to rave to the end.
Yeah, this happy, bye guys before they all just get deleted. Universe 6 obviously has that connection with, we have that connection with Universe 6 already. And it's that's damn.
Sucks to be you.
Yeah. It's kind of a bummer. I don't know if I'd get that same reaction if it was the fucking robots.
No, I don't think so either.
Who are still hanging in there, by the way.
Yeah, now this is also the weird thing where it's like, great, you've eliminated the major other universe that we know about, and now there's still, we still got this entire universe of fucking robots.
Yeah.
Time
can't
for
get to Jiren yet.
More episodes.
Yeah, we got the robot universe, and we got that rat dude still. I don't know, as long as my boy Ultraman's still in it, I'm okay.
I think based on the end of this episode, he's gone.
Oh yeah, that dude's probably fucked.
He's about to be Vegeta'd to fuck.
Yeah. But we're kind of winding down here because I think it's four universes left.
Yeah.
Don't worry, there are at least 7 robots to get rid of.
6, I counted.
And remember those two? Remember how they were like, weird, there's 2 people missing, but I sense the energy somewhere.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, those dudes are still around. And that little blob looking thing that's floating around, that dude's going to win the whole tournament.
Oh, definitely.
I just realized we have a whole group of robots. I wonder if we're going to get Voltron.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't know. Some of those dudes look like they're going to combine.
They're going to combine?
Yes.
Yeah.
The Xenos are up here being like, oh!
No, if Luffy was there, he would be so impressed by that.
Oh, yeah.
Is Luffy just Xeno?
little bit.
Yeah, kind of.
I mean, Zeno's kind of like a dumber Luffy.
Maybe Zeno is just a benevolent chopper.
Oh, man.
We can't go an episode without talking about One Piece.
Nope.
It's very good. Have you seen the animation for the...
I have not seen the episode they put out of Wano. Oh, my
God. It's...
It's a lot better. I wouldn't say it's like great, but I would say
No. Like the animation is really good.
It looks better. I think the animation. I watched the one where they went up the waterfall. And...
No. That's not the one that I'm talking about. It's the most recent one they had with Zoro and an execution.
That's a peak Zoro moment.
It looks so sick.
Oh man, you're gonna make me watch One Piece again.
No. There's this thing I retweeted on Twitter. Someone took the scene and they transposed it onto the manga panel. And it's just, oh man.
All right.
I mean, this was a few days ago. I'll go find it and send it to you after we're done. But
all right. One Piece is good.
One Piece is sometimes good, but recently it has not been good.
No. Apparently, they have a new producer, and it's going to be good going forward. No.
I was just talking about the general manga, but I have heard very good things about Wano.
That in between, but from like
when did you fall off?
Oh no, I'm still reading the manga. I was talking about the anime thing.
It's just kind of between Impel Down and at the very least. What was the last arc? What's Big Mom's Island?
Whole Cake.
Between those two, people are like, the anime is super letting it down.
Yeah.
Yeah, agreed. I decided to start watching the One Piece anime around like midway through Dursarosa, and I think I made a mistake.
You fucked up.
No,
Punk Hazard, where you probably should stop.
Yeah.
Come back for Zoe.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Zoe is good.
Skip everything in between, yeah.
the thing is, even in the manga, Dressrosa sticks around a little too long.
Yeah I agree. That is probably, I think, the only One Piece arc where I've ever came away from it thinking, like, that might have overstayed its welcome a bit.
Yeah. Like, I feel like they could have cut a little bit from the tournament here and there.
Weird. Think you could have cut a little bit from your tournament here and there, huh?
Yeah.
Wow, nice link to Super there. I appreciate it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
Super definitely could have cut a little bit from the tournament, but I've been saying that for a while now.
Yeah, there's definitely episodes here and there that aren't the best, but I don't know.
Can't wait to fight all these robots.
No.
And I mean,
there's actually a really good episode at the end of that.
As far as Super goes, I've read the manga, and I would rather watch this long tournament arc than that. But yeah, they definitely there is a middle ground somewhere.
Yeah.
So yeah, Attack on Titan. Attack on Titan, episode 56. The Basement.
They're in the fucking basement.
They just titled an episode The Basement.
Well, I mean, after all the time we've been waiting for the damn thing, you know.
What are you going to title it?
Yeah.
Town.
I like the part where the credits rolled and there was definitely
all you need
after them.
So, yeah. So, Toonami, it was actually Toonami that fucked up.
Yep.
Yeah, it was somebody at, I don't know if he said it was Adult Swim or if it's Cartoon Network, I forget.
It was somebody in the copy editing department.
Yeah, they did not include a very pivotal post-credit scene. So they did say that they are going to post that on their Facebook page on YouTube as well. So they did, okay.
And there's a version of it in the thread. So if you haven't seen it already, it's there. It's pretty cool, but at the same time, you see it, you're kind of like, wait, did they just
go there? And the answer is they did.
So before we talk about that final reveal, I did want to mention a couple things about this. So I will say that the show really milked this whole reveal during this episode. They had like two swerves. One was like the key doesn't work. Right. Oh my gosh, we can't get in the door.
We'll just break the door down.
Levi just like,
yeah. and then they get in, and then they're like, wait a minute, this just looks like a normal lab. It's probably something's hidden somewhere. It's like, oh, we found a key in a keyhole in this desk. And they,
so there's
they
like use, three.
Oh no, there was even another one because like,
yeah,
there's nothing in here.
There's nothing in here. No. It's just a false bottom, dude.
Levi's like, God damn it, you idiots.
Yeah. So yeah. they kept kind of stretching it out. And then throughout the whole episode, they did that same shit
in the manga.
Did they? Okay. Yeah. They kept doing like, they're like, oh, let's flash back to the moments, you know, right before at the very beginning of the episode or the season or whatever the series. I will say though that like, I did appreciate like the build up in this episode to this, because again, like we said last episode, like this has been a long time coming and we're finally there.
They so this since episode one.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And so we're finally there. We get this kind of reveal, and the final shot of the episode before we get the post-credit scene is somebody opening up a book, and it's somebody's history. And inside this book is this strange painting. But wait, it's not actually a painting. It's some kind of strange thing called a photograph.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's a GIF.
It's a GIF.
So, Jay, it's basically what we're being told here is that – and this is kind of not – too surprising because we've learned already that everybody inside the walls at one point or another had their memories wiped.
And we also know these Titan dudes didn't come from here.
Right. And so what we're basically being led to believe here is that outside somewhere in the real world,
there is a society
much more advanced, maybe not a ton, but somewhat more advanced than what we're used to.
Right. I didn't mind the little swerves just because it was like an immediate.
They didn't drag it out.
Yeah, if they drag those out, then sure. But it was just
if we went from the key,
and then Levi just stomps down the door.
Yeah, like if we went from one episode to the next, and each episode ended with that swerve, it would be like, are you freaking kidding me right now?
Yeah, but if this was a video game, you would have had to do a quest to figure out how to unlock all of those.
Yeah.
So we should talk about what wasn't aired.
So yeah, they didn't air the post-credit scene, which seems pretty important because it shows Grisha and what appears to be his sister leaving their house. The mom's like, wait, you got to put your armband on. And it's like,
we also have Zeppelins.
Also Zeppelins.
I love the whole idea of Zeppelins and airships and that kind of, like, it's so cool.
Yeah.
So this was in the past.
Yes.
Okay, so what we're getting this glimpse of is that somewhere in the world that we're not privy to, there is what appears to be a 1940s-esque Germany-like place.
Yes.
Including even the whole, like, you know, Jewish, you know, being treated as a second class and everything.
Right.
Although I don't think they're Jewish because they had, like, a weird symbol that was different, but...
I mean, it's a star, but it's not a
It's definitely
Jewish star.
To invoke that same imagery.
Yeah, it's clearly based on that, but it's not the same.
Yeah.
But this would have been, like, how long ago?
Well, when Grisha was a kid, so, like, 30-ish years ago, probably.
Okay. Yeah, not too long ago.
Yeah, but definitely long ago.
And they're in a big city. We don't really see much of it, but it's very obviously industrialized city.
Right. They're living in a ghetto, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
like
very
actual historical ghetto.
Yeah. It's very sort of right before the Holocaust started Germany.
So just kind of break up, you know, rip the Band-Aid off. They are really lifting a lot of imagery and.
They are situations from the
Holocaust.
So the point I'm getting at though is that like this is not our world.
Right.
This is obviously a different history than we know.
Right.
But also Mikasa is the last Asian, so.
Oh right. Well, I mean, you know.
Could be. I don't know, but
yeah.
Probably not the last Asian.
She's certainly the only person with that kind of name that I can think of.
Right. Well, on the island, yes.
Yeah. But
did you just say island?
Or wherever the hell they are. I don't know.
Yeah, wherever the walls are, if it's an island or a continent or who knows, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, clearly we know, we also are pretty much led to believe there's an ocean somewhere because we've been told about it forever.
Right. God, Armin really wants to fucking see it.
This dream, goddammit.
Yeah, this is controversial. Controversial.
Right. Like the whole reveal we've gotten, you either really dig it or you don't.
I'll tell you what I like about it is that they didn't go crazy with it. Like, we didn't just see guys on, like, Segways, you know, and flying cars.
That would have been a bit much.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It's like, it is more advanced than what we know. It is more contemporary than what we know, but it was also, like, not, like, super advanced or anything.
It's like a medieval society discovering, like, a 1930s society.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Would be very impressive to them.
Yes.
But it's still not like
mind blowing.
I think that helps. Like that it's like, okay, still relatable and interesting that they've been, you know, this whole place wherever we've been setting our story so far has been secluded from a larger world. But that larger world isn't like crazy spacefaring people. It's just like people who, I guess 30 years, it'd be like, you know, the 1970s kind of level of technology or something.
It's the dark continent.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I don't know. I thought this was good. I feel like it's a lot. It's too early to say how this is quite going to go. As far as the controversy aspect, I cannot talk today.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
It doesn't feel controversial to me for what it's worth.
Not yet.
I don't really know what to take of it other than just to be like, oh, okay, well, again, like I said, like if they hadn't mentioned that memory had been wiped at some point, this would be like really crazy. But I kind of assumed these people have been in the dark once they mentioned that.
This is totally not just the village.
Yeah.
It kind of is, isn't it?
It kind of is. It's like they get to the top of the wall, they look down below, and some dude just leaning against a car, and he's like, oh, shit.
But here's the thing, though. There's still, like, titans.
Right.
Yeah.
What's that about, you know?
Yeah, why are there giant, like, sort of zombie naked people mech?
Yeah. Like, that's not... Seeing a 1940s-esque Germany doesn't explain that, so...
Right.
So I guess we'll have to wait for the next episode.
Well, wait. Is there one more episode?
Oh, no, this isn't over.
Oh, there's three more.
Oh, three more. Whoa, okay. I thought there was only like...
This is a 10-episode season, but you get ready for three episodes of, hey, what the fuck's going on with the Outer World?
Awesome. Actually, I'm excited to see that.
But yeah, they're actually... No, they're... It isn't going to just be like hint at the true secret of the world and then just be like, see you next season.
Oh, yeah, no. It's
actually time for them to explain what the fuck's going on.
Right. Yeah. They're going to give it to us and then the season's going to end.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. And then, of course, yeah. Did we talk about how next season is definitely extremely the final season?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They pretty much just came out and said that.
I mean, the manga is almost done as well.
It's wrapping up, yeah.
I never realized that the manga was so close to the anime. I would have thought like there's like been hundreds of chapters or something.
It's monthly.
Yeah,
it's weird because it's monthly.
There's a pretty good amount of content out for the manga, but yeah, no, the monthly count keeps it kind of down a little bit.
Got it.
So, are you guys ready to deal with this bullshit?
Oh man,
is SAO next? I don't know the schedule anymore.
Yes,
man.
It is.
You have to.
Sword Art Online, Alicization, episode 23, Administrator. In this episode, oh boy.
Yu-Gi-Oh turned into a sword.
He turned into a sword, but not a sword that Kirito could hold and look cool with, just an actual just flying sword.
Yeah, okay. Like it's a waste, you know?
Okay, so even ignoring that, the sword part is ridiculous. The events just in this episode, I don't understand.
No one does.
Like, I'm very of the opinion that characters don't have to make choices that make logical sense for them to be realistic. But right. I don't understand how Tiny Wizard Girl came to the conclusion that she did here, where she was like, hey, you can't hurt the sword golem because it's made of people.
Remember she was when like, she was first introduced and she was like,
you're going to kill everybody? Yeah.
I'm going to kill everyone. If you succeed, maybe I'll let you save two or three people.
Yeah. Right. And now she's
just like, here's the sword golem. I can't, it's people.
And then all right, well, I'll just die. Don't kill them. And she's like, all right, cool. And then kills her. And then she makes Yu-Gi-Oh into a sword, immediately breaking both of their promises.
Yes.
And why though?
I don't know.
On this show, we refer to her as the Lollibrarian.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Also, that hilarious cut to commercial where from commercial. They've been doing that where they cut to
They have been. I don't think there's anything we can complain about to solve this, but like every show on the block has had really awkward places where they cut to commercial. Where
is this a thing where the network is like, we think it's better when we go to commercial earlier.
Yeah, or probably, they're mandated to be like, you can't go more than 15 minutes exactly before a commercial airs, because right. there's if anyone who watches anime knows, there's always a very clear center to every episode where you can cut to a commercial.
Right.
But they've not been doing that lately. Yeah. It's weird.
So, some of the more really old school ones will have literal banners around.
Well, they all do. Even now they do.
Yeah. Eye catches are super common.
Yeah. Yeah. Good point.
All right, so I don't know if you guys have noticed this, and I didn't really catch it this week, but within the past couple of weeks, they've had occasional shows where they don't have the front bumper on it at all, and it just kind of starts in the middle, just right at the start of the show instead of having the actual bump.
I haven't noticed this.
I did. I have to admit, I haven't noticed that either.
Yeah, it's happened the past couple, one or two weeks of Black Clover is one of the ones I noticed it for.
Mm-hmm.
Because it just all of a sudden went to dun 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 dun. And I was just like, oh, that's odd.
This is weird because I could swear.
I want to say this week they did it. Maybe it's just my cable. I don't know.
Have we just completely erased? Maybe the god shows him to go without because of what he's capable of from our brains.
Oh, yeah, I know, right?
Probably, yeah.
I mean, none of the shows where I've seen it happen have been, shows that are
good,
yeah. So I could see people just not noticing, but I've noticed it a couple times.
I mean, it might be to just, sort of cut stuff out to make room for more commercials in those bad shows to try and maximize the cash.
Oh, I don't know. It almost feels like a mistake just how it's cut.
Yeah. Well,
or it may be a time thing.
Yeah, but I feel like that 5-second bump wouldn't cut too much into their time. So, I got no idea.
The thing I forgot to bring up about Genlock, some of those episodes are over 30 minutes.
Right.
Time. So
that's going to be weird.
Get ready for some weird. I assume what they're just going to do is just deal with it. And just be like, Hey, we're starting shows at 3:36.
Yeah, I would assume either that or Shippuden's kind of their catch-up slot.
Yeah.
Because they don't have the opening for that show.
Out of it.
Yeah. They have a sped-up ending. They cut the opening completely. There's a reason Shippuden's the music video slot. Yeah.
I mean, what they could do is they could just add more music videos and stuff for the run of Genlock.
Or the opposite.
I don't think the solution is they're. I don't think they're going to be allowed to expand a full 30 minutes.
Right. Yeah. I think it's more likely that they'll just if it's an episode that they have to air that's 30 minutes long, they'll just not have a music video that week.
Right. How many episodes is Genlock anyway? Oh, that's nothing.
Even if that's bad, it's gone.
Yeah, I thought we were going to be stuck with this for a while, regardless of quality. I don't know.
All right.
Eight is pretty good.
Like I said, there's from September 21st to October, September 21st, Genlock ends. September 28th, Gundam ends. October 5th, Super ends.
Mm-hmm.
All right, guys. I know you're trying to avoid talking about Sword Art. Let's get back to
it. Sword Art Online is so fucking stupid. Holy shit.
Did we even do the intro for SAO yet?
She turned it. Yeah, we did.
Okay. Yeah. Wait, we did?
Yes.
He turned into a sword.
We talked about
Right. Shit. Fucking hell.
Librarian's, like, complete character change.
Oh, God. That episode was bullshit.
They go into such... They're trying so hard to make this sound complicated. Like,
it's not.
And they have like a dialogue scene between the law librarian and the administrator for like
five minutes.
It went on for like 5 minutes, and they're just like
straight up like nodding off.
I know, yeah, and no, it I was just so like it was like trying to be super dramatic and being like, this is deep and emotional and powerful dialogue. And it's just all just the worst kind of technobabble.
It's all nonsense.
Yeah, no, this last little four episode chunk has just been kind of bogged down with just interrupting whatever is happening to have just a conversation about bullshit.
Yeah.
And I have not been a fan. Oh, also, Lollibrarian... when she turns Yu-Gi-Oh into a sword, one of the first things Yu-Gi-Oh does is kill the sword golem that she died to not kill.
Right.
Yep. Well, she can't do it, but he can, I guess.
Maybe it was a thing where she literally can't.
No, but she could, but let's be real.
But you still don't need to die because of that. It's like, oh, you can't kill this thing. Like, oh, shit, guess I'll die.
Also, funny. Is that this episode sure does want you to remember that Charlotte the Spider is a thing.
Oh, God.
The show insists on making me care about that spider we saw all of the
time. Character's like, I have to remember who I'm fighting for. And then a bunch of people so fast, and the first one is the spider.
It's the craziest fucking thing. Like, what is wrong with these people?
And then he's like, I'm going to name all the people I'm fighting for. Charlotte, number one.
One credit I'll give the show is I certainly did not expect Yu-Gi-Oh to turn into a sword.
This is true.
I called it right before it happened again.
I feel like
just like they did with Super AIDS.
I feel like that's something you totally could have called.
Yeah, no, I did just like Super AIDS right before it happened.
Yeah, but you saw a sword golem, so you kind of figured it out.
Well, it's not as impressive as Super AIDS, I'll admit. That was my shining moment.
Yeah, like, I mean,
we heard I turned people into swords, and you're like, "Oh, UJ is going to become a sword, huh?"
All right, so who here hasn't seen this?
Me,
like the show. I have not seen. No, God, can you imagine subjecting yourself?
Who'd watch it twice?
Okay, well, I'm just saying here because I'm going to ask a question, and I don't want someone to answer who knows.
Okay,
and that question is. Who here thinks that Yu-Gi-Oh will turn back into a human?
Oh, he already did.
Yeah, he's going to turn back into a sword. Yeah, no, he's going to turn back into a sword.
He's lost some weight.
Destroyed the sword form, and now he's not the man he used to be.
Yeah,
literally.
Literally.
No. Oh, that's right. Also, yeah, that's right. He was cut in half. I forgot about that.
Well, also, his sword is cut in half, and I can tell you, I will make the prediction right now. He gives his life to fix the sword. Then Kirito uses it to dual wield, and that's how they win.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Dual wielding's going to come in for sure.
Here's my bold prediction. I agree that he is going to take that sword, and that is why he's going to put Alice in that fucking robot instead of Yu-Gi-Oh, because Yu-Gi-Oh is just a sword now.
Right.
Because we gotta keep the harem growing.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And
we already have Klein here. We can't have any more dudes.
Oh, yeah. Right. There is totally a robot that they can put a soul in.
Yep. And it's going to be her.
Yeah. Sorry, Yu-Gi-Oh.
Kaiba.
Yep.
Somebody was talking about the last episode and in spoiler tags that I have. Oh, boy.
Oh, how bad is it?
I can, if you really want to, I can DM you.
I don't want to know.
I won't tell you, Seacole. I won't tell you.
I want to see it happen with everyone else. So.
But God, I just have to tell someone about this that I've read.
Oh, okay.
Wait, is it this weekend?
It's this weekend.
Okay, yeah, send it to me on Discord.
Do that right now.
Don't do it now because I don't trust
I won't say anything, I swear to God. But
I'll do it after the podcast.
Okay.
Oh, no fun.
Yep.
You can wait. You can wait.
B-dubs, chill out and wait. Sit down.
All right, fine.
Anyway, I can't wait to review and rank this shit.
It's going to drop so far down.
This is going to be an easy rank. What are you talking about?
This thing's going straight to the bottom five.
Yeah, I mean, it's already bottom 10.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm thinking like at least bottom three.
I'm trying.
We'll get there.
I'm trying to think. I feel like I definitely disliked Akame ga Kill and Tenchi Muyo significantly more than this.
The thing about that makes this
like Tokyo Ghoul more.
Yeah.
Tokyo Ghoul had to, and it ended on a gif that looped for 5 minutes.
The thing about SAO though is that it had one good season. It had one season I liked.
It had one good part.
Yes. Yeah. But that's more.
Call it a season. It was like half a season. Yeah.
It was like three episodes that culminated in Super
AIDS. No, it was more than three episodes. It was like 10 or something. But it was good.
Like seven.
Yeah. Six or seven.
I'm going to say six.
Yeah. Anyway, that makes sense because that would be like half a core, but whatever. Okay, let's move on.
Yep, fuck this show. Loop on the third. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Loop on the third, part five, episode four, Zenigata's Pride and the Desert Dust. In this episode, nobody is allowed to kill Lupin before Zenigata arrests him. Therefore,
he will take his life. Mm-hmm.
All right. So this show has been very surprising to me. I didn't much care for part four. This is a treat of a show, man.
No, Lupin is one of those things when it's really good, it's really fucking good.
This is, I will concur. I will say this is probably my favorite episode of Lupin that's aired on Toonami, both previous season and what we've seen so far.
So the one from part four, I think, challenges it, ironically, is also a Lupin and Zenigata episode.
It's the one where he's locked up.
Prison one.
I think I like this one more, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But yeah, also Amy is learning that the real life sucks.
Oh yeah.
And she actually emoted in this episode for once.
Yeah. It starts when she's just like, "Oh, internet tells me desert is hot. I think we can do this," and then smash cut to, "Oh my god."
Just walking through the desert miserable.
Yeah, I have made every mistake there is.
Welcome to real life.
Yes.
How can it be this hot?
It's good stuff. I don't know.
Caught a helicopter with a net.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, my hair is a smoke bomb, so your argument is invalid. What was that about?
Whose hair was a smoke bomb?
Lupin took a piece of his hair off and threw it at somebody, and it turned into a smoke bomb.
What?
The best part about that is they built up to it because like Fujiko straight up was like, "Don't take whatever you have out of your hairpiece," and then he did anyway, and it was a smoke bomb.
Yeah, dude, watch the episode again. Yeah. Lupin straight up used his hair as a smoke bomb somehow.
He does it. He does what he does.
I must have missed that part.
It was right at the beginning. So
yeah,
there's Lupin. The part five has a lot.
Yeah, I mean the episodes are pretty dense. Yeah.
By the way, I want whatever Wi-Fi service Amy has.
Oh, I know, right? I want whatever battery she has.
Middle of the desert, throwing my tablet around. This is this. And it's like, where the fuck?
I know.
The best part, that's just 5G. 5G is going to be that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, right.
No, it's
not. Yeah, so Zenigata is... Like, sometimes Zenigata can just sort of be bland or sort of be, like, you know, tropey. And this, he felt really good. Like, it was like a really – it was cool to have him around. He was a good guy. They both were kind of playing like a father figure to Emmy.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It was just a really enjoyable character study episode.
I mean, you could probably
– Because Lupin is dead now.
Yes. He was shot in the head.
Oh, yeah. That's true. She's going to have to get a new father figure.
Okay, real talk, that was totally Jigen shooting, and Lupin totally put a bet on himself.
Oh, absolutely.
No.
He had a fucking cigarette, man.
the curl cigarette.
No, I would put my money on Lupin asked Fujiko to place the bet, and then
Oh.
You know,
yeah,
like they're
that.
All in on it together. Let's be real.
And you know 100% that, like, the very first scene of the next episode is going to show, like, Lupin get up and he's going to, like, oh, I had this ketchup packet in my hand and I just squeezed it.
I bet that's the – I bet that's, like, the ending of next – I bet next episode is like, oh, shit, he's dead. What are we going to do about this? And at the end, he's going to be like, surprise!
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, too. And I'm going to fucking love it. I don't even care how predictable it is.
I mean, those – I really like heist stuff because it's just so fucking stylish and it goes so far to trick you. And even though you know it's coming, when it works, it just, it's so awesome that you can't help it. And the reason I like Lupin is because it leans into that so hard.
This is kind of what I wanted out of part four and didn't really get.
I mean, we got it sometimes, but not to this degree.
Not enough.
What do you mean you don't like Leonardo da Vinci is trying to trap the entire world inside a massive fever
dream? No, I mean, that was dumbass bullshit, but the stuff with the secret agent, that was usually pretty cool.
Yeah. Here's Fox my thing cool. with Leonardo da Vinci. That sounds really dumb, but that's my kind of dumb. The only issue is that they made it kind of boring. And I don't know how the fuck you have Leonardo da Vinci as your main villain and make that boring.
This feels out of left field, but have you guys seen that trailer for Knives Out?
No.
No.
The one where Daniel Craig is, it's just straight up a whodunit, an Agatha Christie whodunit.
Oh,
Rian Johnson's making that.
Oh, I heard about that. Yeah, yeah.
And it's Southern Daniel Craig from, like, Lucky Logan.
Oh, God. Good. I'll have to look that up.
Chris Evans, Riley says, eat shit, eat shit, eat shit. And then walks away and is like, what is this, CSI KFC?
Oh, boy.
So, yeah, with the Lupin, this episode has warmed me a lot to the show. Like, the first few episodes I thought were okay. And then this one's kind of like, okay, I'm really liking it more now. And... I don't know. I think it's good. I do agree that I think that overall this season so far has been probably better than the previous season.
Yeah. So far, I would definitely go with that. But we also haven't gotten any, like, one-offs.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been this... We've been in this little mini-arc, which is a good little mini-arc, but yeah, I'm curious to see what their one-offs look like.
Because last season, the one-offs were really good. And
yeah, remember the one with the teacher?
Highlight.
That one was really good. Or the doctor, or whatever.
I mean, all of the one-offs were really good.
I remember that when they went to Japan being really good.
Mm-hmm.
And the Goemon one, obviously. Although you had some real dumb ones in there, like the Unkiller.
I forgot what that is.
It was the dude who had his goons stand in a circle around some people, and he would... like empty fucking clips into them, but the goal was not to kill them.
Yeah, I do remember that.
Just now inflict as much damage without killing them, and I'm like, that's a really stupid concept.
The one with Goemon just killing a bunch of people was cool, though.
Oh yeah, that was awesome.
Like, but the thing that I'm interested in is I'm interested in, like, the overall arc. Like, let me ask you guys this. We've never seen this Zenigata partner guy before, right?
No, he's probably the bad guy.
I kind of want to say he was in the last season.
Maybe a little bit, actually.
I think he might have been a little bit.
Because I feel like this guy is suddenly here, and it's like, this dude's definitely going to be evil.
Yeah, I could see that, because I don't remember this dude. All I know so far is that he seems to really respect Zenigata, but we'll see where that goes. I could see it being a thing where he initially respects him and then sees that he has kind of a soft spot for Lupin and then just hard turns on him.
Because, it's like every time a long-running show introduces a new character who is hanging around really closely with another character.
Previously, it's usually a betrayal, Tom.
It's like seeing a famous person in the credits of Law & Order. It's like, okay.
They're the criminal. They did bad.
They did bad or a body.
Yes.
So let's talk about Food Wars.
Oh, boy.
for Shokugeki no Soma, Episode 1, The Vast Wasteland.
What the hell does that have to do with anything?
I don't know.
I have no idea what that even means in the context of this first episode.
Like, did they get it wrong somehow?
I don't know. Anyway, in this episode, Soma's dad, they run their cooking shop and they have competitions to see who can make teenage girls jizz.
Orgasm. Go ahead and say it.
Orgasm.
Well, okay, so here's the thing. Okay, right out of the gate, I have to ask.
With food, question. I mean, I forgot that part.
Right, with food, right. It's right. So delicious that she's like, oh my god, it's wonderful. Okay.
I just came.
Did the person who wrote this do it as a joke?
So here's the thing about a debatable. Lot of manga authors. They're definitely doing a lot of them will write totally serious stuff, but they're also like, and I'm putting my porn in it and you can't stop me.
Right.
Well, I'm not even talking about that part. I'm not even talking about the porn part. I'm talking about the fact that we are living in a world where apparently people are willing to, like, do hostile takeovers of little mom-pop diners.
Oh, no, that's a standard thing.
Standard, like, hey, we're at city redevelopment.
Yeah, yes. I mean, that happens.
She's like mafia, almost.
No, that happens in, like, even American shows and stuff. Like,
But you're not hearing me out. Listen.
Yeah. Okay. No, I know.
Maybe that's true. But they don't have like I will. If you make a dish so delicious, I will willingly let this go.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. No, that's unique to this show because of how you know cooking is everything.
Is everything.
That's what I'm getting at. So is this premise of like, oh my god, cooking food is the most important thing that has ever happened to mankind. Is that the author going like, hey, this will be funny? Or is he going like, this is what a great idea for a serious, awesome show?
Well, I think this will be fun.
Just kind of look at how, you know, Iron Chef and how kind of over the top that is. It's kind of like, we're cooking, but it's super serious.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also really ridiculous at the same time.
Reading the manga, and oh man, last time I came over here advocating for a manga, I ended up standing for Black Clover.
God.
I regret it still. But
there's people that still stand for Black Clover, by the way. I'll wait on that.
It's cool that it's like the only one that has like more than one female character in its top 10 character ranking.
Yeah. But
I don't know if that means, hey, everyone sucks equally.
Yes.
I will say that author is pretty good about not just going cheap fan service. But all right, as far as Food Wars goes, once they actually get to the school, it makes a little more sense why food would be so important in that
context. Yeah, this first episode has kind of nothing to do with the actual like,
series. Yeah. You're never seeing this girl again.
The only thing that really matters is kids from a diner. He's super good at cooking. Like, really, you're going to come.
Yeah.
But, again, I'm not trying to beat a dead horse here, but, like, we've already seen that, like, people who go to this prestigious academy, this food academy, mm-hmm. it's like life or death almost.
Right. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
No, it's very, very serious. It's just one of those things. It's like,
so
you
is
just
it supposed to be funny?
I think it's supposed to be fun. Like it's not supposed to be ha ha, and it's not supposed to be this is dead serious. I think it's supposed to be, you know, this is a fun
take
premise.
It seriously,
you are not supposed to take it completely seriously.
Right. Well, like it's 50-50. Like it's sort of silly, but you're not supposed to laugh at it.
Okay. So now that I've gotten that off my chest, here's what I think. So having seen the first episode, I thought it was kind of funny and it was way more over the top than I thought it would be. Like as far as like again, not just the like my you know, orgasmic response to eating food, but the just the whole way everybody is just like my God, food is the most important thing that has ever, you know, happened to humanity. Like, that whole aspect is what was really surprising to me, because they kept, like, upping it. Like, it just seemed like, I don't know, it just seemed like there's no second of this show where food isn't the most important thing being talked about.
Right.
Oh, yeah, definitely not.
That will never change.
Yes.
Until it does. Or until food gets too serious.
Yeah. I don't know. Based on what I've read so far, you have some of those foodgasm moments that get kind of iffy.
I mean, just kind of
ridiculous. Just,
like, those are kids, man. But I don't know. I feel
I don't know that I needed to see her get assaulted by a peanut butter octopus.
Right.
I will say that I'm very concerned about this show, because I feel like a lot of these moments are going to be a lot worse now that they have a voice attached to them.
So let's talk about Valley Girl Erina.
Oh, boy.
This is your main rival / deuteragonist of the series, and you went with that.
I'll tell you what. I don't know anything about this character, although I will say this. She looks to me like she would be like Satsuki from Kill la Kill.
Yeah.
That's how it's supposed to be.
Right, and that's what I'm getting at. It's like, could you imagine if they had given Satsuki that voice?
Like, oh my God, Ryoko, your outfit is so unstylish.
Yeah, it's like, oh my God.
Like a jukebox in a waterfall.
This is, man.
Now, here's what I'm thinking. Maybe the voice director at Sentai thought, you know what? This show is pretty goofy. Let's go goofy.
Let's go gag dub.
Yeah.
Okay, here's the funny part. In the Viz translation of it, there is a character later on that Viz translates to a Valley Girl accent.
Again?
Well, no, Viz didn't translate Erina like that. That's
Sentai. In the manga, right.
A different character like that.
Yeah, they translated
a different character. What are they going to make her sound like?
Closely related to Erina.
Yeah.
So what are they going to make
her? It also makes way more sense for that character.
Well, I guess that character is also going to be a Valley. Or maybe they.
Maybe she gets the Erina voice.
Maybe Alice sounds like what Erina is supposed to sound like.
Yeah.
God.
Oh, man. I'm baffled. That is a. I don't know how someone comes to that conclusion that is the voice that character needs.
Was the response from fans of this show to that was that pretty negatively received?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. JC staff also has been turning. They had some jiggle physics, guys. So.
Well, I mean, that's one thing I'm totally expecting going forward is the gratuitous sexualization of.
I have to say, it's a lot different when I'm watching it on my TV where other people can hear it.
Oh, man. I'm in the process of moving back into my parents for a little bit.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
Writing that volume button.
Just mute it for the whole episode.
You have to watch it on your phone. That way you can lock the screen quickly.
Sometimes my roommate and his girlfriend get home late and...
Ooh.
Yikes.
Ooh.
Mm.
To say it, you're doing it as an experiment...
Yeah. Say it's for a
podcast. Yeah, I don't. I mean, it's for podcast guys. I don't want to be overly negative, because the thing is, I can see where this could turn out to be kind of a fun show because it is trying to be goofy. And I've always said a million times, like, I like shows that are fun.
Right.
And this could be fun. And I'm obviously not meant to take it too seriously, because obviously people's clothes. Don't fly off when they eat delicious food.
Right.
But in real life.
If your clothes haven't flown off when you eat delicious food, you just haven't had good enough food yet.
That's true.
By the way, Two would definitely like go right out and eat the dish from this episode.
I'd try it.
I'd try it.
Now, I will say that I don't think it's a meat dish. I mean, it had bacon, but it wasn't really – or it would have – I'm sorry. I have that backwards. She kept complaining it wasn't a meat dish, but it had bacon on it, so –
She wanted a steak.
Yeah, I mean, she wanted an actual piece of meat.
Also, the innuendo game.
Yeah, they really drilled that home, didn't they?
That's
I would really like a thick, juicy steak.
Like, how about my dick?
That's exactly what it is.
Is this okay? Here, answer this for me. Is the main character another one of those pro tags who just has zero interest in women?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, I haven't read that far in this manga.
Yeah, I only read like three chapters before I gave up.
Like Luffy tier asexual?
No. That's what I'm trying to ask. Yeah,
Luffy tier, but
no, I mean Luffy doesn't care about anything but adventure.
He knows he's here to cook.
Yeah, that man cares about cooking. I don't know if he's not interested.
The other thing too is that I'm supposed to take away from this episode is that when people have their explosive reactions to the food. And nobody like comments on it, right? It's just like that's a natural thing that happens all the time.
Well, okay, I think it's I hate using the word symbolism, especially in this context, but I don't think that is something that is actually happening. I think it's like kind of
well,
like
it didn't. I did notice Greg seemed to suggest last week that it does happen. But I will say, regardless of whatever happens in the future, in this episode. It showed their clothes falling off, but then we got cut to a shot and they're not.
Yeah, so like, I don't think their clothes are actually physically falling off in real life.
Right. I'm pretty sure it's just, you know, imagery.
Yeah.
Now, judging by what Greg's has said in the past, I would not be surprised if that changes in the future.
But I think there's aspects of it that definitely get carried over. Because again, it's almost played for a joke. And I think they'll have like a panel where they're like, "Whoa, this!
Whoa, the judge! Like the judge's like clothes actually flew off."
Yeah, and then like the next cut is them with their clothes back on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So this is going to be a pretty crazy show.
Yeah,
and a long one.
Wait, how long?
Well,
oh boy,
there's actually there's the first 25 episode season, and then there's let me look this up. Well, there's 61 episodes.
Wow.
That's a lot of fucking episodes.
But it's not all of it's dubbed, but they're probably going to show all of them.
Is it pretty highly viewed on Crunchyroll?
Yes.
I think it's very likely this could be another long runner then.
Yeah.
Assuming they don't get a lot of
And flack. Also, there's supposed to be a fourth season. Yeah.
What do you think, B-dubs?
I think I'm going to wind up skipping this show more often than not.
I think you should wait. I think I wouldn't necessarily like completely write it off until it actually gets into what it actually is.
Okay, yeah.
Which is constant like school Iron Chef battles.
Yeah.
I mean, I will note that the I remember when this came out, everyone was talking about the artist like they were really famous or something.
Yeah, it's some kind of game, some video game art or something, did it?
No. Porn.
No.
Really, really famous porn artist, apparently.
Well, I thought that somebody said that this show was animated by some like people who did like Fate or something.
Oh yeah, that maybe. I mean, the manga is like you know.
JC Staff did not do Fate.
Oh yeah, this is JC Staff who.
They recently
did One Punch Man season two.
UFO Table, which is doing Demon Slayer, did Fate.
I feel like they did a better. Job with this than they did in One Punch Man season two, which is kind of like on brand for them.
Yeah,
It's like it's very on brand for them.
So yeah,
I do know that the manga artist who does Food Wars did a special chapter of a side chapter of One Piece once. If you've never seen it, it involved Sanji. Obviously,
how would Sanji do in the world of so?
Well, it was set in the One Piece world, but it was just it was like a side story drawn by the artist who does Food Wars, and it was like his tribute to Sanji, and it was actually kind of good. I mean, like obviously the guy who draws is super talented. So
he probably draws pretty good looking porn.
Apparently,
but yeah, this first episode one is not representative of the show.
Yeah,
yeah,
except the dub. Probably is.
Oh yeah, we in that for the long haul.
We're gonna have to go by.
I miss you.
The Valley Girl Arena. Oh no.
It's like nobody told them, hey,
Your
fans might not like this. Yeah, I don't know. I don't
understand how they keep making these decisions.
That's really the part of a director which sucks. Like that is not an issue at all with the voice actor. That's just a director being like, oh, it'd be a Valley Girl accent. That's a good idea.
Right. Right. It's like, I don't want to be like slamming too much on Sentai here because obviously they have a track record of making some bad calls. But the thing is like everybody from time to time will make a bad call on a voice. Like Funimation and, I mean, Aniplex, everybody every once in a while will have one voice. You're like, I wouldn't have done that. But it's like Sentai, for some reason, it's just like they just keep making weird calls. And it's just like, why are you doing it like that?
Well, I can conclusively say that we would probably make a better voice direction decision.
Yeah.
Like Chuck said, I wouldn't have okayed the Valley Girl. I'd been like, wait a minute, that sounds like maybe that could be problematic. I don't know. Maybe they just think it's funny.
Black Clover. Episode 77, Bad Blood. In this episode, there's only one thing worth talking about, and that's Mushroom Guy.
The tournament skipped a match.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think the manga did either, but...
That's fine.
Yeah, I know, who cares? I'm sure it was just some jobbers. But, it's like a 16-team tournament. We got 7 matches, so... I don't know where the hell the other team was.
But yeah, this match has like Noelle and what's his face?
You know,
teamed up along with some weird creepy dude who's like, what's his power? I don't know. And it turns out his power is fucking shrooms.
They started off with another match, right?
Yeah, it was like the one Luck was in.
Oh. Yeah, it was Luck, the woman who could fly, and then the glasses guy.
Yeah, that one looked really bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nobody cares about that. We care about hello, I'm talking to you through this transmission mushroom, and the mushroom has a yaoi face.
Yaoi face, and it also, like, it talks like this.
Hello.
Even though the guy doesn't talk like that, but his mushroom will talk like this.
Oh, yeah, he's just some scrawny dude.
He's riding this ridiculous-looking mushroom that looks like a cactar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all that's notable about this episode. Other than, holy shit, her brother's a dick.
Yeah, more of the Noelle's family sucks backstory, basically.
Like, remember when I'm just a straight-up terrible psychopath?
So I'm sure... Do you guys recognize this Golden Dawn guy that's not Yuno?
No.
No. That is one of the dudes who was all rah rah nobles commoners bad during that when Asta went to that ceremony thing.
You see,
I didn't remember that, but yeah, I guess that makes sense.
But yeah, no, he's been shown before.
I like how multiple characters are now like their motivation is now fucking Yuno in the same way that everything in the MCU is fucking Tony Stark.
Yes. We're not a fan of Yuno. That kid's too uppity, I guess.
He's got it. He's into buddy buddy with vengeance, apparently.
I liked Mushroom Guy, and I didn't mind Noelle getting a moment here.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say this was a good episode, but I didn't hate it.
It did have a new opening too.
Oh. Yeah, whatever.
Why does this show get so many openings, and why are all of them better than the My Hero Academia openings?
Okay, so we say Perot has better openings than most of their studios.
Yeah, I think they put more effort into it.
Why aren't they doing that with Boruto?
I thought the first Boruto opening was good.
I kind of liked it.
I'm interested, actually, kind of, to see where this tournament goes now that we've cleared out most of the jobber teams.
All of the dudes
it's
all
still gonna suck.
Existing entirely.
Oh, like yeah.
Leon, Doug, and Bob.
Wait, is this how many people are supposed to win?
Who is that one dude? Rob? I think it's one winner. But it's like some tuning exam.
Right, exactly 3 people.
Oh, yeah, 3. I think it's like some tuning exam shit where it's like you don't necessarily have to win the tournament to like
still be part of the team.
Yeah.
But I guess because they're doing a tournament, they might as well have a winner, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fuck it. Why not?
Just have it for an art. Sure.
Yeah. I mean, it's better than the cave simulator.
Oh, don't worry. I'm sure the final match will take place in a cave.
Oh, I hope so.
It better. I mean, they got to save money somehow.
The tournament to be put on the team that invades a cave.
It's like, you know, sometimes in Black Clover, I'm just like, yeah, this is cool, but it'd be better if it was in a cave. It's like Naruto.
You must really love this show.
Yeah, you know, sometimes you watch Naruto Shippuden and you're just like, what happened to the boat? Let's go back to the boat.
You know, this arc would be way better if it was if it took place in an infinite canyon of trees.
Yes.
Oh, there we go. There
it is. The adventures of Kakashi and Naruto jumping through the canyon.
That canyon of trees went on for like 3 episodes.
It was like real life. That would be like an international landmark.
That is literally Siberia or some shit.
Like, just these dudes jumping through all of these sideways trees.
Yeah.
We watched Kakashi and Naruto jump through a screensaver for like 4 weeks, man.
Yeah.
Kakashi and Naruto run through that one maze screensaver.
And it was animated as well, about as well as Flying Toaster.
Pretty much, yeah. God, that was such a bad arc. Have you seen that one GIF that people post occasionally where it's like the little dots of Mike Guy fighting each other? And then
I made that GIF.
The other. Oh, that was you?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was...
That is, to me, the worst animation that's ever appeared on the block.
Yeah, it's...
Where they just, it's a looping, like, two little stick figures kicking each other awkwardly and then jumping to the left, doing it again, jumping back, and then it loops like 3 times.
Yeah, like, just shit. What were they thinking? Yeah, so speaking of Naruto,
Boruto. Episode 38, Formation of the Freeman Squad? ? Answer, yes, of course it's these guys. Who else
can it be? I mean, who didn't see that coming?
Everything repeats.
I really appreciate these random mooks that also graduated.
Yeah, like, did anybody notice that there's a kid in this class that looks just like Kakashi?
Oh God, I don't want to... Nope, not going to go into it.
Okay.
Did Kakashi?
Is that Kakashi's kid? Because I'll tell you what, man, he's got the same like covered up his face thing. Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah, okay. It was kind of strange.
So, I
feel like that kid would be more fun than what we're getting.
I don't know what exactly this entails because this episode hasn't aired yet, but we have not seen those 6 random kids since this episode.
Really?
But the preview for the next episode is apparently going to focus on that team specifically. And that
like
kid.
The next episode airing in Japan.
Yeah, the next episode airing in Japan.
Oh, wow.
He's going to focus on that team. And apparently that kid is real fond of Kakashi.
Oh, I get it. So he's like taking after.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
That's so a little disappointing.
Yeah.
So it's so not them just being lazy.
So they missed a chance to have him like get punched by Kakashi and then cream himself.
Oh yeah, they really did.
I mean, they
probably
have
hadn't thought of that yet.
Yeah, and then there were like there's a couple of other characters they give names to that we didn't know before, like the weird like goth girl and a couple others, and then there were like a couple that we just like I've never seen
this person in my entire life.
Like who is this kid with the hat?
I don't. Who cares? They're team now. No, they're team 52.
Yeah, exactly. And for some reason, there's like they're like you're team 7, you're team 3, you're team 12, you're team 40. Like 40. Yeah,
you're team 5006.
Yep. But we want to be team 7.
Yeah. So
because poetry.
Anyway, this episode's about Sarada really not wanting to be with Boruto, and Boruto's also like, "Well, fuck you too." And it's like, "Great, you guys are literally." On the same exact path as your parents.
They did the Naruto Sasuke kiss.
Almost.
Except straight this time.
Yeah, she was able to block it.
Yeah.
I feel...
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
I feel like maybe she had heard about that somehow through the grapevine and was like, that is not happening to me. No, sir. She's
prepared for it.
She's like, nope, not going to happen.
Who is Mirai?
She is Asuma and Kurenai's kid.
She's the little baby.
See, I have no memory of her ever being a Naruto.
She's literally a little baby in the series.
Naruto Shippuden, she is one. I think Shikamaru has gone and said hi.
Yeah.
You can tell because she has the eyes. She has Kurenai's extremely intense eyes.
Well, like for a second, I thought she was like, Sasuke was getting around before he settled down.
Yeah.
But, it's definitely her.
I liked her design. She looked like a cool kunai or whatever they're called. Not kunai, konochi.
I think that's one of the characters that Kishimoto designed. I want to say like she showed up in the last chapter.
She does have a good design.
Yeah.
I like it. Yeah. I wish we followed her around instead of Boruto.
Boruto.
I feel like it'd be more interesting if we followed somebody who wasn't related to Naruto.
Well, that's never going to happen.
I know.
Knowing that, Boruto's fine.
I guess.
He's similar enough, but also different enough.
Yeah, this is definitely not just a Naruto
fan. Way more chill.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, that kid.
I've said this a million times. I like Boruto way more as a character than Naruto.
Yeah.
I mean, who doesn't?
I like Boruto's side characters a little bit more than Naruto's because they actually do stuff with them.
Yeah.
But anyway, you can't fight fate. They're going to be Team 7. Fuck you.
Yep.
Jiraiya, Tsunade, and Orochimaru will be together forever in spirit.
Yep.
I did like that little brief scene where, like, how do you say that?
Yeah.
Shiko Chou.
It's like that backwards.
Yeah, and they had it backwards because she's like, oh, it's going to be Cho Ikashine again. And he's like, no, you have it wrong. Because she's putting her name first.
Yeah, good moment there.
But yeah,
we got an all-girl squad and an all-boy squad.
Cool.
Yeah, it's like Sumire, that cat girl who's called Wasabi, and other person. The screamy black canary.
Namida. The girl that's got the name that's the song from Space Dandy.
Space Dandy, yes. That's the only reason I remember that name. Yeah. And then we got Awabe, Metal Lee, and Denki.
Yeah, Denki and Metal Lee together, that's kind of weird. Well, I can see Denki and Awabe makes sense because they've been friends.
They just didn't know where else to put
it. They were like, we have no idea where to put Metal Lee.
Yeah, just like, fuck it. Put him with Awabe and Denki, fuck it.
Here's two people who don't... Here's two people.
Yeah.
Well, I guess Metal Lee and Denki kind of have something in common in that they're both kind of like cowardly sometimes.
And Iwabe balances it out by being like super gung-ho even though he sucks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, Iwabe took out one of the seven ninja mist swordsmen.
Oh boy.
No, he didn't. He just took out some guy who worked for them.
Whatever.
But also, yeah, those dudes were fucking losers.
Yeah.
Let's blow through Naruto.
Oh, yep. Yeah. Our recap
episode. All right.
Naruto Shippuden, episode 57, meeting. Do you want to see all of Naruto Part 1 again? Well, here it
there
is.
There you go.
Yeah, okay, look, it looked nice we're done. And the music was good.
Okay.
I like the animation. Naruto. Yeah, wait, I will say the animation was very good, but how many times have we seen this story?
Oh, 12. A billion.
at least 12.
Yeah.
Did we see the Naruto sitting on the swing, sadly, shot in this episode?
I don't know if we did. Oh, we did?
I think we did, yes.
Also, we did get a little more of, like, the third Hokage interacting with him and, like, giving him his allowance, and it just continue to ruin the third Hokage because he's a dick.
Yeah, it's so weird, like, in hindsight, just his way of interacting with this kid makes no sense. Why did you think this was the best course of action, dude?
I don't know.
Walks out of Naruto's house and walks away grumbling, you should have never been born.
Yeah.
No, I mean, in hindsight, what would make perfect sense is have Jiraiya raise the kid. Because then everyone will be like, oh, well, he can handle it. I mean, look at the fucking guy. And then, everyone will be scared of him because they'll be like, well, if it gets out of control, the old guy's got this. Yeah.
But Kishimoto hadn't thought of Jiraiya yet or wanted to have this sad backstory. Like, his sad backstory does
not... The sad backstory came before he decided that he was going to be the son of the village hero.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, this, like, his sad backstory, it doesn't make sense for a character that is, like, this child of fucking destiny that they were going with.
It, look, eventually, every shonen protagonist becomes a child of destiny.
This is true.
Like,
you know... Yeah, go on, whatever.
I just kind of feel like none of sort of the revelations we hear about, you know, his parentage or, you know, who his family friends were or any of this gel at all with, like, the backstory. It feels a bit like it's sort of going the Harry Potter route, only never explaining why his life was so crap in the first place.
Yeah, like, it's like, here's
some Harry Potter, like, we literally had no choice.
Yeah, I mean, they had to send him there because of the whatevers. But here, it's sort of like, it makes zero sense.
There are people in this village that should more or less care about this character's well-being and mental stability, and they don't.
Well, here's the thing. The one thing I learned from this episode, not being a person who watched much of the original series, is that apparently when Boruto was a little kid, he was a dick. And he went around, like, painting people's houses and making fun of them. And I think maybe that's why they don't like
him. That's the first shot. That's the first scene of Naruto. He paints out the
Yeah, he does that same thing.
I guess that's what I'm getting at, is that, like, maybe the one hates
him. But they don't like him before that. It's that sort of reinforcing behavior. They don't want to pay any attention to him. So he does crazy shit, so they pay attention to him.
Yeah, so now they can shake their fist and go, Naruto, you scoundrel.
And he's like, they acknowledged me existing!
Yeah. It's just one of those things. It's like, and this is what makes them constantly going back to it even weirder, is that they have to know it makes no sense by now. And yet they keep going back to it.
I kind of fast-forwarded through this episode because I was watching it on a rewatch. I was watching it later, and with the exception of, like, I have to admit, it was very well animated. It looked really good, but, like, again, I just don't see the point of going through this story again. I, as someone who didn't even watch this originally, I feel like I've seen this four times now.
Yeah, no,
it's
I mean,
same, like, oh, you got to get the bell off my waist.
Yeah,
it doesn't help that we just got through that Boruto arc.
Yeah, and. Like, they keep going. Why do they keep going back to the sad backstory? It makes no sense with all the revelations and stuff. Like, honestly, I'd be happier with them if they went back and retconned it a little bit. I mean, Jesus. It would make more sense.
There's no way to retcon it.
They can. All they have to do is change
the... Have all the villagers be like, God, we hate you, Naruto. And then when he's out of your shot, but we secretly love you.
Have like Jiraiya raise the kid, but then he has to go away on mission, so they don't like him because they're afraid of him when he's not around.
You can't do that because he never met him before.
Well, you change that too. It's like you change two scenes and there you go.
Hey, baby Naruto met baby Sasuke.
Oh god. No, baby Naruto wasn't born yet.
And also baby Han Solo.
Yep.
Yeah, we had that conversation.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about Gundam. Mobile Suit Gundam The Origin, Advent of the Red Comet, Episode 1, Child of Zion. In this episode, actually a lot of assassinations and explosions. I actually really liked this episode.
Oh, man, my opinion on this versus the first episode of Unicorn is like night and day. Yeah. I kind of enjoyed this.
Because, like, I was coming into this afraid it's like, it's going to be like, blah, 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 politics. Blah, 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 new types. Blah, 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 blah.
It's better because there's more going on.
Everyone tried to do that, but they kept getting poisoned and blown up.
Yeah. Now, I will say, you know, my big complaint, my only really complaint with it is that it does drop you in. Like, there is no there's no explanation of anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you are just dropped in and expected to know who all these people are and who all these different factions are, and you're supposed to know who the Zabi are and who these people are, and I don't know who the fuck any of these people are. And so I am confused as fuck about who is who and what is what. But
I think he said that. I can basically – so this Zeon guy – is a guy who is like, hey, colony people should, colony independence, right? Right?
Right.
Space people, yeah. Free of Earth people. And so basically the zombies kill him to piggyback his ideology to become space Nazis.
Right. Because they have similar ideologies, but they don't want him getting all the attention. So okay. They're like, well, just awful.
I kind of figured that much out. But then yeah. They throw out lots of people's names. And I don't know who the names are.
Well,
I don't know who's...
It's probably a lot of the Rawl family. And this is the part where you'd be like, I remember that guy from Gundam.
Exactly. Oh, that's dude, what I was okay. getting at.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So I've watched Mobile Suit Gundam. There is right off the bat, I recognize like 7 of these characters.
And I think that's really cool. Like, I can totally yeah. get that this is, like, if you're a Gundam fan, this is freaking amazing.
Yeah,
I'm just as like, a non-Gundam fan, I'm watching it and going, this is pretty good, but I'm confused.
But who the fuck are these dudes? Yeah.
I think the yeah. one primary thing that you need to take away from this episode got put through, which is fucking zombies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, that all suck. A car bomb.
Yeah, that dude is
like Jesus.
But I liked the characters, even though again I was struggling to kind of figure out who is who and who is on what team. I kind of figured it out by the end, but it's still confusing to me. Like, I don't know who what everyone's okay. name is yet.
All people are future villains, so
right.
Oh yeah.
But having Sayla. Said that, like, I think that like it was super compelling. I really liked the girl bad guy. I don't know what her name was. The one with the red hair. Yeah, I don't know, but. She was really menacing and cool. I liked her a lot. I liked and I liked Char. I don't yeah. know what his name is. They call him something else.
It's it is
I don't know. Casval. Whatever.
C-A-S-V-A-L.
I like that for the whole episode, he pretty much doesn't say anything until that final scene, and then he's a badass.
Yeah, he's just like, fuck you, take this off.
I don't know how long it'll take. But eventually, I'm going to kill your ass.
Yeah, and I thought that was really good. And it was, again, we all knew it was going to be animated really well. It was. Yeah.
Yeah, but this is, like, these characters are likable in a way that Unicorn's characters weren't.
Exactly.
Right. Man, Benazir is a fucking dreadful protagonist.
I totally forgot that mm-hmm. his name was Benazir.
Wait, he has a name.
Benazir Lynx.
Benazir Lynx.
Yep. I cannot forget a name that's that dumb.
Anyway. Yeah, so like, yeah, aside from the confusion about trying to be, you're just dropped into me like, figure this out. Aside from that, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was, the pacing was really good. The, you know, the excitement of what was going on. It there wasn't any like lull. It was like, we're dropped right into the intrigue of everything and the power struggles. And we even have like a goofy little, cat character.
Yeah, cat named Lucifer. Mm-hmm.
Lucifer.
Lucifer is scared of the dark. Also, this girl like glowed in the dark for some reason.
Sister.
That might have just been a imagery thing. That is a character from the actual Gundam.
Yeah.
I will. Okay. I really enjoyed the scene of Rambo Rawl stomping off to go find the cat, and she being like, oh, I forgot to tell him that Lucifer is kind of mean to people that he doesn't know. And then cut to him walking into a bar with his face just super fucked up.
And then that woman, again, I don't know who she is, but the blonde, is like, hey, you still got your disguise on your face. And he's like, this is real.
Yeah, okay. Got attacked by a fucking cat. Like,
yeah.
So, yeah, this was actually kind of good.
Yeah. I'm very optimistic about this.
If you're thinking, man, I can't make it to My Hero because fucking Gundam's gonna kill me. Maybe, probably not. Actually, yeah.
Like,
I mean, it makes sense that like this is gonna have some pretty good pacing. I think because it's OVA based,
and it's only 13. It's half the size.
Of yeah, before,
13
yeah.
episodes.
So yeah, good first impression.
Yeah, fucking kill all the zombies.
Yeah. All right. last show.
My Hero, really? My Hero Academia. My Hero Academia, episode 57, Rescue Exercises. So for the second phase of their license exam, they have to save some professional victims.
Oh yeah, these guys are called the Help Us Company.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I like this concept.
So Deku goes up to the first one and is like, oh no, this looks bad. And he just gets up and is like, dude, what the fuck?
It's like a very short person pretending to be a child.
Yeah. Right.
And they're like, what are you saying? You're not comforting me at all. Negative points.
They're just going to be like, oh, it's going to be like this, huh?
Mm-hmm.
I like this concept of them having to save people because I do think that's an important... Like, so far, you know, we've had our little exams and sports competitions, but it's a lot of just, you know, shonen power bullshit tournament arc. And this is like, oh yeah, heroes are supposed to save people, so that's what we're going to test you on.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I do feel like these Help Us Company people are being a little overly critical. A little bit. But yeah, I agree. I think it's kind of an interesting side aspect of this universe that like heroism is such a widespread thing that you've got an entire organization dedicated to training people on how to correctly help innocent bystanders.
Yeah, like I like the whole thing with that dude trapped under the rock and they have to be careful not to accidentally bring down the building on his head.
And yeah. Do you think that it can actually happen? Because like, it's not real.
Well, I think it could happen, but I have a feeling these Huck people are probably trained to deal with that situation.
Yeah, we're like,
oh, it turns out my quirk is Hulk out and he's just
right. My quirk is I'm immune to concrete. I don't know.
Right. Something like that.
My quirk is so, I'm immortal.
Another part of this episode was we got some more like stuff with Ochako and her feelings about Deku.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They are not being subtle about this.
No, and I'm not the biggest fan of this because right now her character is kind of just, ooh, I'm blushing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although, to the show's credit, the way they deal with the scene is they're sort of like saying, like, I need to put this out of my mind. I need to focus mm-hmm. on training.
Right.
But still.
Yeah.
But also, she kind of disappears for a while after this.
Yeah.
So it's also kind of like, I should stop being in the show.
So yeah. We also get this new guy named Gang Orca.
Who is number 3 on the list mm-hmm. of heroes who look like villains.
He does look like a villain. That dude is terrifying.
Totally does. Like, yeah. And remember Ectoplasm, the teacher, yes. that one teacher who is definitely like number 2, if mm-hmm. not number 1. I love that there is an entire ranking of heroes that look like bad guys.
Yeah, that's good stuff. Yeah, I don't know. That we had a lot of. I enjoyed this episode. There's some fun stuff here. I still like that wind dude with the giant hand.
Also, Bakugo. Mm-hmm. Going to fail spectacularly.
Oh, that was... I love that scene of him just yelling at these dudes, though.
Like, he even confuses them into thinking that he's got it all figured out, but no.
He's just being a dick.
It's like, well, we are kind of... We aren't that badly hurt. We could totally get... Shut up! It's like, no, you're just actually a dick.
Yeah.
Just like, nah, just go there yourself. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm excited to see how this Gang Orca stuff shakes out.
Well, you'll
have to title, yeah.
Next week's episode is basically, we're doing something random. Let me look this up.
Isn't this like a movie tie-in?
Yeah, it's like an advertisement for two heroes, basically.
Whoa, wait, you mean the next episode isn't a continuation of this story?
Nope.
Oh, good. No.
Huh. They'll get back to it, but it's a completely random interlude.
Yeah.
Huh.
That exists to advertise the two heroes movie.
And
I haven't seen that. I've heard it's pretty good though.
Yeah. Yeah. It looks nice.
It looks like the anime from what I could see.
Yeah.
Is it better than the anime, animation-wise?
I thought you were talking about the episode.
Oh, no. No, not another episode. I'm talking about the movie. There's parts of it that look really good. There's some really good-looking fight scenes in that movie.
Okay. I like the... I know that the movie has, like, an American character that is, like, a non-Quirk character, and that's kind of intriguing to me.
His name's, like, Robert Stone.
I think it's, like, David or some shit.
David Stone.
No, I'm talking about, like, there's, like, a woman...
Oh,
there's like a woman and she has no quirk and she's like an inventor.
Yeah, that's like
right.
Melissa Stone.
Yeah,
something like that. Yeah. So anyway, I just think that's interesting because we don't get many non-quirk characters. So
Melissa Shield.
Melissa Shield.
What a good name. Last name
was Shield, but it's totally like an anime thing where it's like, as an American character, the last name is Stone.
Yeah.
Yep. Smith.
David All Americans Shield have rock hard action man jaws.
You know what's funny is that, like, even though it's like, I don't know how to say this without sounding weird, but, like, you know, you see it so often in anime that, like, the American character is always the blonde hair, blue eyed character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that never bothers me, but I guess it could bother some people, but that never bothers me because I just think it's kind of quaint that Japanese people just associate that as being an American. I don't know. Is that weird of me to say that?
No, it's not. I don't think
it's weird. Like,
every red-blooded American knows that America is a melting pot of all kinds of different people. But like to the Japanese, the American is blonde, blue-eyed guy, you know?
Well, I guess if you were to consume a lot of Hollywood movies, especially from a couple years ago, that probably is the impression you would get.
That's a good point. Yeah. If you're getting your primary American knowledge from our popular media.
All Americans are Brad Pitt.
Yes.
Pretty much, yeah.
But yeah. So that was the block. It's not actually as bad as people thought it was gonna be.
No.
It's just weird.
Lupin is carrying more weight than you thought it would.
Yeah. I will say, like, just sort of doing the podcast, I feel like there's that huge slog in the middle there where it's like, we just want to skip over it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a little too much shonen in a row, but I do think that,
it's funny how we get a weird kind of out there show in Food Wars, but that's still Shonen Jump.
Right. Hunter x Hunter is very, very good. And that was on the block for a while. And it was just this very quality constant that we had. And now, what? Sorry?
Just a back of the block anchor.
Yes. So, like, having that was nice because you knew that was always going to be good. And you don't really have that now.
Now it's like, Promised Neverland's gone. JoJo's gone. Hunter x Hunter's gone.
Yeah, we had JoJo for years because we went from the 48 episode part 3 right to the 39 episode Diamond is Unbreakable.
Yeah, we haven't had no JoJo for a long time.
Yeah, so it's we're losing two kind of big anchors of quality. And while I do think some of these shows are able to, like, there's good aspects of a lot of these shows later in the block, you don't really have that same sense of like this episode is going to be good.
I think people are looking for, like, are lacking a lot of, like, really quality familiarity right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right. And it's like, I know that I'm, like, hot on My Hero Academia in a way a lot of people aren't. Like, I really enjoy it and look forward to that.
I do, too.
Yeah, same.
Well, okay, well, good. But I'm just saying that, like, it's not at the quality level as a Hunter x Hunter. So it's like, you look forward to the end of the block now, but it's harder than it was.
Yeah.
But I think Unicorn I called it Unicorn. Origin looks like it could be promising, and so that's also good. The real, honestly, to me, the real problem with the block has always just been the Black Clover or Shippuden. I mean, Boruto, I think, has been better than I had hoped. Black Clover is just such a blah, and Shippuden is just a blah, and I just, they've plagued this
it would
block.
Be really nice if Black Clover actually did end and we could get something different in there, or just not have anything. That would also be fine.
Or put it in the back. Put it in the back, like, so I can skip it.
Like, make it the last show.
Yeah.
But you can never skip it completely. You have to do this podcast.
I mean, we could read the summary.
it's still,
I could go to sleep earlier and watch it later.
Mm-hmm. It still blows my mind how many like episodes of Shippuden there still is.
Yeah, it's like it's in the 600s and we're not even in the 300s yet.
I don't even want to think about it.
So much left.
No, wait, we did hit halfway, I think.
Yeah. It ends on episode 500, so we've hit the halfway point.
Okay. But
we're not very far in the halfway point.
7 episodes past the halfway point.
We are still, if we watched the entirety of part one Naruto, it would finish before Shippuden.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Let that sink in.
5 more years of shipping.
God, shoot me.
See you guys in 2024.
Yep.
Do you guys think Toonami makes it to 2024?
Yeah.
I think it's possible.
With the shows that are in production currently, I think it's gonna hold on for quite a bit.
I think we've got at least a couple more years guaranteed.
Yeah, yeah. At least until they get through these next six.
Yeah,
I think we've it's got always more than that.
Possible that if like they could always be like, "Hey, they're not Toonami, but they're Adult Swim anime now."
I'm curious on how the anchor, like how the block is going to hold up once there isn't a Dragon Ball show.
Yeah,
yeah, I mentioned that last week. I'm kind of like perplexed about that. Unless they just repeat it, so
I think something's going to happen.
Because it has been a good while since we've been without a Dragon Ball show.
Like, By the way, I completely forgot that they show Super earlier in the evening still.
Oh, they still have like Kai runnings.
Oh, they still do that?
Yeah.
They still
do, yeah, I saw that and I was like, what? That still happens?
Yeah, my DVR will just randomly have episodes of Kai.
Yeah. Like,
oh, yeah.
Metatron used to put that in a schedule post, but now he doesn't.
Yeah.
Well, it's not Toonami.
Yeah. Right. Like Samurai Jack
anyway.
Showing like every day, I think, now.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, look,
I guess those are perfectly adequate. Like, let's get a buffer between Cartoon Network and the weird shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, here's Samurai Jack, this show that is perfectly acceptable for young audience because we've had young audience watching them before.
Mm-hmm. I mention it because of what you just said, though, Grex, about this idea that, like, you know, if they ever dissolve Toonami into just Adult Swim anime, it's like they kind of do that already in a way.
That was kind of what it was before Toonami.
I honestly don't know how much Toonami cost them though, which is why
definitely airing more anime than they would if they weren't doing Toonami.
Yeah, but like I guess it was just
Adult Swim action. You would just have like the three new weird stuff.
I honestly, the way I look at it is, I don't think it costs them more to do Toonami, and it's worth.
Like even if you shrink the block down to like 2 hours, you still can keep the Toonami like branding.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think Toonami's going away because it's a brand that is popular enough that, you know, it's got a fan base. And when you have a fan base, you just keep doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the transition from Adult Swim anime to Toonami honestly wasn't that drastic originally.
We're still airing Bleach.
Yeah, we're still airing Bleach. We're still airing reruns of Full Metal Alchemist, Ghost in the Shell, and Cowboy Bebop. But we added Dead Man, Wonderland, and Cashier and Sense. But now all of a sudden, we got all these people talking about this because it's like, oh shit, Toonami's back. So, like, why wouldn't you keep it?
I don't think it's going away for that reason. The only thing that would make Toonami go away is if Adult Swim just decided to stop doing an action anime block. And I just don't see that happening, considering it seems to be an anchor for that, for the whole network.
The other way is like a real streaming consolidation.
Oh yeah.
Where Crunchyroll and all those other like Sony and like Warner Brothers are like, hey, keep your shit tight to the chest.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, again, the plan is original programming to solve that.
And they also have that deal with Crunchyroll, which also is like also owned by Warner. Eventually they were the same people. So
this is working out. I mean, if anything, I feel like, and especially considering some remarks that DeMarco said recently regarding cable, and it's like that it's a slow drip of loss of viewership, but it's not, it's still got a lot of life in it.
It feels like big days of cutting cable happened when streaming was actually cheap, and now it's like, oh, it's just cost the same as cable now.
Right.
Yeah.
Honestly, and it's getting to the point where you need like 12 different logins.
Now it's going to be like, here's your streaming life is you figure out what you want to watch in a month, subscribe to one service, watch all that, and cancel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because like, you know, before when it was like Netflix and Hulu, like, yeah, that's a feasible option, but now it's like Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, HBO. DC Network or whatever the hell.
Disney has a thing coming.
Yeah, Disney Plus. The thing with Disney Plus is that it's like it looks like a steal.
Apple has a thing coming. NBC has a thing coming. CBS already has one.
Like, well, Comcast wants a thing coming, I think.
So it's going to be interesting going forward. But I think what we're getting the impression of is that like cable isn't going away because some people see it as convenience.
Right. Yeah, like I have a feeling it's going to come back. Now that, you know, there's 27 different streaming options and everyone's going to be like, well, I'll just watch cable.
How many years do you think before the first big like streaming service aggregator that is basically just cable?
I think that's where we're at now. I think I kind of see cable
Amazon
as
almost there.
You kind of, I mean, VR,
it gathers a lot of really small niche services.
Yeah, I looked into VRV, and my impression of VRV is that it's like everybody kept talking about, like, oh, this is such a great deal. You get all these channels, but then I hear people say, like, yeah, but you don't get everything.
Well, there's certain things that you don't get. It's not very widespread, though.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like with the Amazon thing, you basically can add on like HBO and all the sort of premium stuff.
I'm wondering how many years till a service is out there like, we will sell you a package deal of Netflix, Hulu, HBO Go, Amazon Prime, Disney Plus.
For the same price of cable.
For the same price of cable.
Yeah.
Honestly, I wonder at what point do they just say, okay, we'll take all the original stuff everyone's doing and we'll just put it on TV in different channels. Which is basically what we used to have, and now it's all getting pulled off TV and onto the internet.
Right.
You know, because Disney used to have like 12 different channels for all their stuff, and now they're down to like
streaming services.
Yeah, now they're down to like just the two channels, and
now they're like, kids know how to use a tablet.
Yeah.
Yeah. The one thing that cable's got over everybody else is the programming schedule. And I think that that's like something that you don't get with streaming because...
Mm-hmm. Well, that's also the thing that people actually don't... People like...
People I know like. Some people don't like it, but I kind of think that there's something to be... This generation is losing something the group watch.
I feel like this generation has thrown that in the garbage and is like, fuck that. Like,
binge culture.
No. I will say none of the binge shows ever got quite as big as something like Game of Thrones did. And I don't think Game of Thrones gets quite that. Yeah, or Breaking Bad. I don't think...
Also, I think the actual watchers like don't care about how big it is.
No, but at the same time, I don't think those things get quite as big unless they're on at like a specific time and everyone is basically keeping up together.
I mean, like, you do have some exceptions like Stranger Things, but yeah, it's a little bit easier to have conversations when people are at different points of the show.
Yeah, I was going to mention that where it
keeps everyone on the same point and you don't have to worry about spoiling someone.
There's a kind of marketing piece that comes from people having water cooler conversations about what just happened and speculating about what will happen that you lose when you just binge watch an entire season on Netflix.
Right. Like this podcast would be way harder to do if we streamed all the shows.
We would quit. We would not be doing it.
Yeah, like... There's
if it was a Toonami streaming service.
Yeah.
Okay. If it was a Toonami streaming service that was premiering things and you couldn't watch ahead, we could do the podcast. If it was here's the whole show that you can stream immediately,
with some
you could do an episode once every time they had a new show, maybe.
Yeah. All right. Just wouldn't work.
So. I hate to cut this short, but I do have to go see a Spider-Man movie.
No, you go. Mm-hmm. Spider-Man's really good.
You go. We need to stop anyway.
Thank you, Chug.
All right. It's been fun, guys. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, B-Dubs.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, C-Coler.
No problem.
We'll see you guys next week for episode 159 and the review and ranking of Sword Art Online, Alicization. Good night, everyone. Later.